We are continuing the Pirkei of the Ezer, 38th chapter. Tedah lachaim ech koach hacherem haya gadol. You want to know how strong the cherem, that pact was? Bo'orem Yoshua binun. Take a look at Yoshua. He made a pact. Cherem is a pact with God. It's a spiritual force. You guys know what a cherem is? No. Okay. If someone gets the courts upset, if someone speaks disrespectfully to the courts, they could make a pact against him. Basically what they say is, he should drop dead. And Chazal tell us that wherever our sages made such a pact, either the person lost his life or his wealth, one or the other. It's basically a curse. It's a pact, but it's a spiritual pact, and it's a pact that has great potency. Now, you have to know how to do it, and you have to be legitimate in doing it, but a cherem is a pact that a guy makes with God, and he says, I'm saying this person should be becheren. He should be like out. Now, there are levels, and technically, once a person's in cherem, we treat him, we have to stay away from him, we don't go within his four footsteps. He's not allowed to be a part of a minyan, he's not in shul with us. A lot of things, a lot of religious sanctions, we stay away from him.
So how do you someone get to that state?
If the courts told him, you have to pay so and so, you're found guilty. And he says, you guys go fly a kite. I'm not doing that. So they'll give him a warning, but at some point they might do that to him.
This where he's not allowed to wear shoes.
Right? We don't force him. We don't force him. It's up to him whether he's going to live up to what the halacha tells him to do or not.
So today, we
have no
rules.
I'm with you.
We don't have Sanhedrin, so these rules of harem don't apply.
Not exactly.
But one of the rules of harem is exactly respecting the court. Nowadays, we have really stubborn husbands that don't get to their wives. They're respecting the court, they're respecting the entire court. So, they go to jail. They go to jail in Israel. There is the case of this guy that he went to jail. And actually, he was there for a year because he's respected badly. And some months ago, Batin told Israel prison service not to serve him Sanhedrin food. So he was eating kosher stuff. The Chabadon. Because he's being a stubborn person. So they cannot apply cherem. How they can...
That's not so accurate. There are levels of cherem. There's nidui, there's shamta, there's cherem. We're just getting an overview. Certain things we do have the power to impose, certain things we don't have the power to impose. This is just an overview of what cherem is. We're not going into all the details. There are halachot of cherem. It's a simanim and shulchan aruch. But now let's continue. When you want to know the power of a cherem, you could learn it from Yoshua bin Nun. Shechrim et Yericho, hi v'chol ha-shabah v'saraf ba'esh. Yoshua made a cherem on Jericho and everything that was in it, and everything was burnt. I apologize to anyone who didn't get pizza. I'm really sorry. I ordered two more slices than there were people present at the time that I ordered. So I feel bad if anyone didn't get. But more than that, I didn't think was legitimate to do at the Mahon's expense.
Everyone got pizza.
So everyone got? I don't think everyone got. Oh, you see. Okay. Sorry. Okay. So Yoshua placed the cherem on Jericho. Everything was burnt. Achan ben Kalmi ben Zerach. Remember, we just learned this in Yoshua. Achan, the son of Karmi, the son of Zerach, ra et atrafim. He saw that figurine. Ve'et hakesef shayu makrivin lefanav, and the silver that they had brought as a sacrifice before that figurine. Ve'et hader chayta fusa lefanav, and that bracelet or necklace, whatever it was, that was placed before that figurine. Ulshon zahav echad befiv, and this slither of gold that was in the figurine's mouth. V'chamadotam b'lipo. Achan wanted that. Yoshua had said, being that we conquered Jericho on Shabbos, we don't take anything from Jericho. Everything is given over to God. Everything is cherem. You're not allowed to touch it. V'alachul kacham. Achan saw this wealth. He saw it was all offered to this idol, this figurine. Achan went and took it. Utmanam b'tocho alo, and hid it in his tent. V'al ma'alo asher ma'al. And because he stole from the cherem, metu alav shishah shloshim tzadikim, because of him, 63 tzadikim died in the next war when we went to fight Ai. As the verse says, v'yakum hem anshei Ai kishloshim shisha ish, that the people of Ai killed 36 Jews when we went to war against Ai. והלך יהושע וקרא את בגדיו. Yoshua went, tore his clothing, ונפל על פניו ארצה. He fell to the earth. Just like Yoshua. When we do this, Tachanun, after Shmoneh Esrei, that's a minor replication of Yoshua. Yoshua did it on the earth. We do it on the table. לפני ארון ברית השם, he fell before the Aaron, וביקש תשובה. And he asked Hashem to... Tshuva over here could mean he wanted an answer. And tshuva could also mean he wanted that the tshuva that Am Yisrael does would be accepted before Hashem. God accepted the tshuva, and God said, okay, I'll help you guys in the next war, even though something improper is going on, and you have to fix it. God said to Yoshua, the Jews did not live up to your cherem. Shneimals, the verse says, "Chatai Yisrael." The Jewish people have sinned. Ra'ay Yoshua b'shtemesra avanim shel Kohen Gadol shen keneged shneimasar shvatim. Yoshua looked at the breastplate that the Kohen Gadol wore. There are 12 stones corresponding to the 12 tribes. Zechoshev chaya mitzvah biyado etam magiha ova. And any shevet that was weak in a certain mitzvah, the light of their stone got dim. Zechoshev chaya biyado dvar avera lo etam magiha ova. I'm sorry. If they had performed the mitzvah, their stone shone. If they had performed an avera, they had dimmed. Looking at the breastplate, he could see the tribe of Yehuda's stone was dim. They were the ones that sinned. So he made lots. So Achan got caught in the lot. As it says, "Ve'elched Achan ben Karmi." Lakach Yoshua Achan ve'et hakesef ve'et hadeot ve'et lashon hazahav ve'et panav ve'et notav ve'et kol asher lo. Yoshua took Achan, the silver, the necklace, the slither of gold, Achan's children, everything he owned, brought it up to the place called Emek Achol, the Valley of Achol. Uchtiv, technically the verse says, Lo yumtu avot al banim. Fathers don't die for children's sins, children don't die for father's sins. That's what it says in Devarim. Im ken elu mitnei ma metu. So then why did Achan's children die together with him? Now here there's a machloket really. This Medrash learns that Achan's children died. Rashi goes with the Medrash that Achan's children were there to witness what happened, but they didn't die. The Rishonim that learn they died give a different answer. That the Pirkei Rav Elazar says, Elal sheyadu b'davar v'lo yegidu. Because his whole family knew he was stealing. They all knew he went against the pact of Yoshua. Even though they didn't do the sin, they were aware and they kept quiet. That's what we discussed earlier this week about loyalty. You know, when McCarthy was attacking everyone who was suspected as maybe being a communist, so there was a common question in the United States. If you know your wife is a communist, where should your loyalties lie? With the government? With democracy? Or with your wife? Do you rat on your spouse? So everyone was talking, what's morally correct? We say that you're not allowed to have any loyalty other than to Hashem. Everything else is derivative of that. But a person's loyalties have to be to Hashem, and if there's a contradiction, that's where they lie. Yeah, in most of marriage, Hashem wants us to do everything for our spouses. Hashem is the first fan of a good home. Our sages say that if a husband divorces his wife, even the Mizbeach sheds tears. The Mizbeach. We have a tractate called Gittin. We have a tractate that discusses the laws of divorce, and the tractate ends with how upset God gets when there's a divorce. That God wants peace in the home, and one of the things the Talmud says over there is that if a couple get divorced, even the Mizbeach sheds tears. But if a person is faced with a situation that is not reconcilable, and there's a contradiction between loyalties, like Achan's children, they knew their father had stolen, they knew he had gone against the pact, they knew he had gone against what Yoshua had established for all the Jewish people, they were not supposed to remain silent. They should have gone to Yoshua. Had they gone to Yoshua earlier, maybe Achan's life would have been saved. Certainly these 36 people wouldn't have died. But they didn't. And that's why when Achan was punished, they went along too. They were stoned and then their bodies were burnt. Why did they have to be burnt? If they're being burnt, why were they stoned? The stoning was because they knew and they were silent. And the burning was because 36 people died because of them. And here we have a very important point. Achan admitted what he did wrong. Achan confessed before he died. Because of that, yesh lo chelik la'olam haba. When we get up to Gan Eden, we're going to see him there. He has a portion in the world to come. And from here we learn that every person should try and say vidui before he dies. There was a terrible car crash a half a year ago. And the person from Mada came. I told you guys this when we learned it about Acham, right? And the guy saw he was going to die. The guy was bleeding to death. He was lying on the side of the road. So he told the guy from Mada, just say vidui with me. Remind me how you say it. You don't need a rabbi present. Anyone can say it. God, I feel bad for the things I did wrong in my life. Please forgive me and let my death be an atonement for what I've done wrong. And then a person says, Shema. We have a longer vidui if a person has time. If a person's in the hospital, he knows he has a few hours. Then we have a longer vidui printed in the Sidurim, in some Sidurim. But technically, anyone can say it. It's good to have someone with the person to help them along, but you don't need anyone there. Yeah. If they were killed, some machlokas
would be. I thought that many people from many Israelis knew, and that's why it was such a big problem, because they saw their brother sinning, but they were only concerned with them. They weren't acting together.
Where'd you get that pshat?
I think it was from you.
Right. So that pshat is the pshat the Matsuda over there gives. But this medrash seems to go a different route, right? That pshat makes it, according to that pshat, we also explain that his children didn't die. According to that pshat, that only explains why other Jews died for his sin. Meaning, each pshat has its advantages, things that work better, and other things that we have to work out. Right. Right. My goal in the Navi class is to give you the pshat that will go most smoothly for you. That's why I gave you that pshat. Now I'm learning the Medrash, I gotta stick to the Medrash. I agree with you. That pshat seems to be the easiest one to understand. I'm with you. Yeah. I shudder as I read this Medrash. I have a hard time with it too. But okay, what can I do? We're learning the Medrash. That's what it says. Yeah. I don't know anything about Gilgulim, so I wouldn't know. Sorry.
Ask
him. I don't know anything about Gilgulim.
I mean, I'm asking like a specific thing here, but I mean, what is...
Well, Rabbi, I studied about reincarnation, but not in the Judaic way. You know, like in Hinduism, they say like karma, whatever good you do in this world, you're going to be reincarnated into maybe something better, like a tree or a cow or whatever. And if you're not so lucky, maybe a stone or a bathroom, anything. Like,
okay.
Really,
I don't know. In the little bit I've studied of Talmud and Medrash and the little bit I've seen of Rashi, Ramban, Chizkuni, Sephorno, there is an idea of Neshamos. There's a Medrash that says that Lavan was Bilam, was Nebuchadnezzar. So there, the Ibn Ezra and others seem to comment that it's like the same. You could maybe interpret that they mean Gilgul, but it doesn't seem that way. They seem to say it's like a common thread of evil through these people. But others might explain the Medrash that it was a Gilgul. Pinchas was Elio, so the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam, they discuss, was Pinchas really Elio? So there, I guess, maybe you could fit that into their words, but I'm not familiar so much. I mean, that's about the extent of what I know about Gilgul. I'm sure there's a lot more out there. I have Sfarm on it at home. I mean, there are Sfarm I have that have adjuncts that discuss Gilgulim. One day, maybe I'll get to it. Right now, I don't know anything about it. Okay, back to the Medrash. The Medrash says, how do we know that Achan had a portion in the world to come? Because Yeshua told him, you caused the destruction for the Jewish people. Yaakocha Hashem b'yom hazeh. Hashem should destroy you today. So we understand from that Yeshua told him today. But tomorrow, you're in the world to come. Ayom hazeh ta'achu. Only today you're being destroyed. But you have a portion in the world to come. So the Medrash is now going off on a tangent, as you've noticed, describing the power of the Cherem. You want to know how big the Cherem is? Come, I'll show you from the tribes. When the tribe of Benjamin had the story of Pelegesh Begeva, In a nutshell, the story is a man came to Hilltop. He went with his Pilegesh, his concubine, and his servant into a home. We're skipping a lot of details. And then derelicts from the town surrounded his home. Those of you who were at my house, Hashanah Rabba, we discussed this already. Right? So there were a bunch of lowlifes that surrounded the house, and they said, give over the man. We want to know him biblically. And the man pushed out his concubine, and then they spent all night doing improper things with her, and by the morning she was dead. He cut up her body, sent it throughout the tribes, and they went and attacked the tribe of Benjamin. They asked the tribe of Benjamin to give over the people who had done it. The tribe of Benjamin said, these people have to be judged by our courts. There's no reason you guys should judge them. And it ended up in a civil war. So all the tribes united to fight Benjamin. Amalem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God says to the tribes, Kinetem al haznut shel shevet Binyamin. You were mighty zealous over the znus, the improper behavior of the tribe of Benjamin. Velo kinetem al pesel micha. But where were you when a tribe in the north, the tribe of Dan, erected an idol called the idol of Micha, and half the tribe in the north is serving that idol? Where's your zealousness when it comes to that? It's beneath your dignity to have such a thing happen among you. This is inhumane. But it's not beneath your dignity to have idol worship in the north. My dignity you're not worried about. You feel like your dignity, you can't have this in your midst. But you could have idol worship in your midst. So my dignity, God says, that doesn't bother you. That's why the first two times they went to war, they didn't win the war. You have 11 tribes against one tribe. And the one tribe wins. The second time, the one tribe wins. It's only in the third battle that they won. So they went and fell before the ark. They made a great tshuvah. And they made a pact that all the Jews have to unite to go to that battle. They took a vow that everyone has to join in. The verse says, it was a great vow they took on. What vow did they take? That's to teach us that Chirim, this pact, equals a vow. There was one city that didn't join. Anshei Yavesh Gilad, lo aluv, lo vav, imem bakahal. The people of Yavesh Gilad, they didn't come. V'nitchevu mita. So they said, we're killing them out. Shnemaz, the verse says, asher lo ala l'Hashem mot yumat. Whoever doesn't come, we're killing. So they said, that city, wait a second. They know such a terrible thing happened. We're all uniting for war. If they're not joining us, then they're agreeing with the tribe of Benjamin. And that's what they did. I skipped. The Medrash is continuing with the power of the Cherem. And I think we'll break up this Medrash. We'll finish the Medrash next week, next time, 2 weeks from now, yeah? Okay. So we'll pick up over here next time.